Good morning. This is Lydia Aranda, and I am here this morning on this great Monday morning, July 14th already. We're into the middle of July. And this morning we have behind the glass Brendan Kraft. Brendan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lydia.
It's so wonderful to be here on yet another episode of Rainmakers. And this morning we're going to have two fabulous guests in my first hour. I'm so excited to welcome Bernadette Alvarado. Bernadette, bienvenido. It's nice to have you in studio today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you here. And today we are going to be speaking throughout these couple hours with two great leaders who are making a big difference in our Southern Arizona community on the creativity side, the innovative side, communications, and really being able to bring together more people around important issues that affect a lot of families, students, and businesses. And again, like we celebrate on Rainmakers, people who are making a difference in helping Southern Arizona thrive. Bernadette, I'm so excited to have you on here. I know that we actually kind of know each other from a bit ago, but we have reconnected just recently. It was so nice to see you at the 100 Plus Women Who Care event last week.
It was such a moving experience. Yes, I'm so, I was so empowered to be in a room full of 100 women that give so generously of their heart. And just to be in that room was so exciting.
It really is. And so I take it that that was your first interaction with the group. Is that correct?
That's correct. I had not been to that group. I've heard of them before, mm-hmm. but it was always like, I need to get in that room and experience it for myself.
Well, the energy was really powerful. And considering that we're right in the middle of the heart of summer, and often people have really busy times and it's hard to get folks together, but that room was packed. Okay. And for those who aren't familiar, 100 Plus Women Who Care is 10 years old, or it will be celebrating 10 years in just a few months. And it was founded by a really engaged woman and her friends, a handful of friends, who decided that even though there are big foundations and corporate giving and grants and other folks who are really deep into philanthropy, they felt that it would make a big difference if people were able to come together and just build a network among themselves and give $100 at a time and collectively see what that could do. So now 10 years later, it has been multiple millions that have been given out to the greater Tucson or Southern Arizona area simply by folks getting together quarterly. It's not even a really, you know, it's not every week or every month. Right. And as you said, the room was powerful. There were people that were happy to see each other, a lot of new guests and new members. And I'm always hearing the stories. What happens is that the people get together and nonprofits are selected out of a group that is provided earlier, a list of names. And then they are randomly selected, three out of a hat. And those three organizations get to give their pitch for 5 minutes each. And the audience is able to ask questions, or the membership that are in the audience, and the guests get to really find out about this process. And by the end of the evening, voting happens. It all takes place in just a couple hours, so it's not a whole lot of time. And it was really thrilling to see the exchange going on.
It absolutely was. It's a very beautiful event where you see women that are really dedicated to the community and dedicated to these nonprofits, because mm-hmm. When you have a nonprofit, you're really at the mercy of your community, you know, to do good works. And so whenever you're afforded the opportunity to get into a room full of really brilliant women, it's always something that's very moving and very powerful. You know, hearing the stories of these nonprofits, we're like, oh my gosh, I want to learn more about them. If anything, that's what you walk away with. How can I get involved? How can I support these nonprofits? And how can I learn more?
Exactly. And what really sticks out for me, and it's funny that we're having even this much talk about 100 Plus Women Who Care. We're going to definitely, I know that they're slated to be on our show in the future, but we're going to have to make sure Desha knows that we're giving the shout out for all of her
Absolutely.
Hard work and her whole team. But Bernadette, one of the things I really enjoyed when you and I were speaking is to really learn not only about, I could see that evening, the passion that you had for what was going on around, but you were right in the heart of everything, networking like you are known to do. And for those of you who, from our listeners who may not be familiar with all of your great work, I'm just going to say a couple points here that you, Bernadette, have really been known as a dynamic force here in Southern Arizona in a number of different ways. You are in the business world, small business, and in corporate business, and the media landscape. You are a host of a podcast that you founded called Simply Hermosa, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But also, you are a contributing writer to Hola Tucson.
Yes.
And you are, in fact, a contributing business writer, is what I understand, which is a little bit different aspect, and so important to really be connecting, whether it's nonprofit, community causes, maybe even governmental issues or policies, but being able to bring in that business connection and be a contributing writer so that you have a message that's going out on a regular basis, I'm sure, is not only important to Hola Tucson and its readership, but really helps to shape the information that's given to, you know, to folks in the community region wide.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the main points of the things that I do is really to serve the community, not only through business, but also through our nonprofit. So it is giving a voice to people that may not be seen or heard.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that has spinned out of this is called Simply Hermosa, the nonprofit. And we created this, or I created this nonprofit to celebrate, especially women, because it's so difficult for women to gain access to capital. Sometimes knowledge is very, it's not that knowledge is hard to find, but it's knowing what to ask.
That's right.
And so with Hola Tucson, I really focus on trying to find resources that are available to small business and to connect people to those resources.
And I think you really hit it on the head that one of the best things that any of us can do in community to help others is to really pay attention to understanding that we might be right in the middle of an industry, our work might allow us to be much more knowledgeable or be at ease navigating many systems, pieces of information, understanding what resources are and aren't available. But to someone else who might not be sitting with our same experience or perspective, it can be very daunting just to figure out, okay, I know that I need to ask for help with my business, or I know that I need to find out if there are programs to help my family or my kids with tutoring or with, you know, a whole number of things. It doesn't always have to be a crisis issue. But systems can be so daunting that it's almost paralyzing. So it's up to us to be able to really find a way to reach out to those who may not understand the same landscape and help them navigate it, help them really figure out a good pathway, or sometimes just be a traffic cop, be able to say, now go here,
right,
or on certain days, now go there. So it's so important that you're doing that. I really appreciate your efforts in that way.
Thank you. It can be daunting, and we've all been beginner business owners. We started from somewhere, and we didn't always have the answers or know who to turn to. So it's so important. It really is crucial to find those partners, to find those stewards that can kind of direct you on your way.
That's right. And you also are very engaged from a sales aspect as well with Tucson Table Magazine. Is that correct? Is
yes,
that still current?
It's a brand new magazine that's coming out also in the Hola Tucson family.
Mm-hmm.
And they are introducing, it's a free quarterly magazine that features local area restaurants, food trucks, and just businesses that support the restaurant industry.
That's really exciting. And for listeners who might not be listening to the Morning Voice on other mornings, we'll just give a quick reminder out to everybody that the Morning Voice Positive Talk Radio Show is on every weekday from 7 to 9. And this Monday segment is Rainmakers, and we talk about those who are helping others to thrive. In other words, making it rain. And whether for families, students, individuals, veterans, small businesses, and agencies alike. But on Wednesdays, our host for the Wednesday segment is Grant Kruger, who is a very renowned and successful restaurateur in and of himself. And his show, Food for Thought, focuses not only on that industry, but really engages in a wider spread of maybe policies or initiatives going on in Southern Arizona that either impact the restaurant industry or may have an aspect that might speak to issues with employees or issues about food and nutrition or issues about maybe some sort of economic trend or restaurant trend that's going on with food and service and hospitality. So one of these days we're going to have to make sure to have you on that segment as well.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to speak with him. He's a super wonderful gentleman. I had the honor of meeting him at a couple different events as well. So he's a very well-known person in our community as well.
Absolutely. And he's so supportive and so enthusiastic, not only about this show, but about engaging community in a number of ways. And he uses his own restaurants as venues to support a lot of different, not only nonprofits, but candidates and up-and-coming business entrepreneurs themselves, as well as, you know, his fellow industry groups and leaders. So shout out to Grant. We'll have to make sure to go visit him one of these days, either at Union or Proof or Reforma or Maverick. So
he's
going on.
He's an excellent source of information as well. You know, you just, when you have somebody that it's that connected and that active, it's always nice to kind of see if you can sit and pick his brain and kind of see what's going on in that great realm of expertise.
I would agree. And I think we're on a great place right now to take our first commercial break. So you've been listening to Bernadette Alvarado, and I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, on Rainmakers. We'll be back in a moment. And we're back. This is Rainmakers on the Morning Voice Positive Talk Radio on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. And this morning in our first hour segment, we are speaking with Bernadette Alvarado. Bernadette, so great to have you in studio this morning. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
We have been speaking a little bit about your varied background that really has a couple of very common threads woven throughout, whether you are in your consulting role, your contributing business writer mode, whether you are hosting your own podcast or you're out and about in community, attending other events and networking with other givers, influencers, movers and shakers. It seems to me that communication is top of your mind, not only in the one-to-one, but I always seem to see you focusing on what is the message going on? What is the purpose of whatever the gathering is? Or what takeaway might you be able to take so that you can go and inform others? In other words, information that you not only hold for yourself in your own growth and success, but how you can spread it out to community. And we see that through all the different kind of work that you're doing. I know that you describe yourself and others describe you as well as really someone who is an advocate for those who may not have a voice or may not have a loud enough voice. And you focus on civil rights, education, economic empowerment, particularly but not exclusively for Latinos, and particularly not exclusively for women. You kind of bring it all together in many different forms. Tell me, what had you focus in on that? Have you been doing that ever since you were a kid, or has this been more recent years?
Well, originally, I was an executive assistant, and for many years, I was behind the scenes helping CEOs build their brand, you know, behind the scenes working on things in business. I was very fortunate to be an executive assistant for Dr. John David Arnold over at PEP, and really that type of work is really what inspired me to continue doing for the community. I really enjoyed being able to support our community in different ways. It's really what has driven me. And I'm extremely shy at times. So it's been one of those journeys where I've had to just step into a new role and be a little more open. So for me, it's really been a learning experience. When you want to give voice to somebody else, it's usually because at one point or another, I didn't have that voice. And I'm just trying to inspire others to understand that if I can do it, they can as well.
That's right. So you're being a good role model while also digging in and being in the trenches right alongside people.
Well, I mean, you have to talk about what you know, like your experiences, your life. It's we're all in this together, but I feel like it's really easy to take for granted the fact that people are out there, they're communicating, and it's easier for others, and it can be difficult at times for me. So again, I'm just trying to come from a point where we want to celebrate each other, we want to actually give voice, and that's really what it's all about.
Sounds like empowerment is a big word.
Yes,
in your daily life. Tell me a little bit about, and tell our listeners a little bit about your consulting firm, Tesoro Business Services. Do you focus on work with other nonprofits exclusively, or do you work with small businesses, or who do you consult for?
With Tesoro Business Services, it's mainly for small startups. Again, helping small business, you know, somebody that's brand new to it, they don't necessarily have all the tools. And it's my pleasure working with them to connect them to maybe that accountant or that advertiser or, okay, let's go to the city of Tucson and find out what exactly it is you need for your small business.
That's great. And again, like we were speaking about in the first segment, that sometimes it's not that the information is not there or that the individual isn't aware that there are resources, but trying to really figure out what's the best first step that's going to lead down the path to some next steps to get help is so important. And in business, I think it's easy to forget sometimes that not everything has to be about the business structure, meaning the business operation,
yes,
or the industry structure, but the same way that we need to take care of ourselves with our own health and wellness as people, we need to make sure that our businesses are healthy and well also. And sometimes that can mean taking a step back and figuring out, is more training needed? It might mean something like looking at a different kind of space in which the work or operation is taking place. Is it now too small and does it need to expand? Or is it so big and maybe it might make sense to go to someplace smaller?
Mm-hmm.
It might mean a little attention to brand and image, you know, and all
Absolutely.
Kind of other things. And so that can be a lot, especially for entrepreneurs, if they are trying to focus on what it is they do and, you know, their expertise. And sometimes it's hard for entrepreneurs to then think again about the step back enough to think about the organization. What are you finding to be in those situations the best way to kind of coach people through those things?
Well, most importantly is really listening to what they need. That is the biggest thing that I feel like sometimes they, more than not, oftentimes, is they're just needing somebody to vent to. Like, and to say, okay, this is the problem that I'm encountering. For instance, there was an accountant that I have as one of my clients, and one of her biggest challenges has been time management.
Interesting.
And she was like, I want to do everything, but time management really is a problem for me. I'm trying to find a healthy balance. So really just listening to what the client needs and really trying to focus on, okay, let's go find the tools that you need to help you with this problem, and so that we can jump on to the next. But really, you just have to listen and explore different opportunities out there. And it's not always, it isn't always what you think it's going to be. Like, you think they're having problems with cash flow. That's not necessarily the problem. So sometimes it's just, again, just listening to your client, trying to figure out what is their pain point at that current time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is, you know, just talking about their business. Sometimes they don't even have an idea how to network or how to get themselves exposure to that business as well.
Sure.
So just kind of trying to find different avenues. Every business is different. Everybody's needs are different. So it's really just, it's just kind of figuring it out, going through it with them.
communication and voice and good old active listening, it sounds like. And that's so important for consultants. And so it sounds like our listeners should be keeping their eye out that if they think they might be in need of some service, that it would be worth a call or an email to you.
Absolutely.
And see if they might be able to have a cafecito or just have a conversation over the phone with you to maybe start getting an assessment before the assessment.
Assessment for sure.
A pre-consultation before a meeting.
Because that's part of it as well. You really want to take the time to learn who your client is or who your consultant is, because it's like everything else. I might not be the right fit for you.
Sure.
Or you might not be the right fit for me, but at least we can take the time to learn each other mm-hmm. and say, you know what, I can't take you on at this time, but let me refer you to somebody that is absolutely amazing and can help you with some of this, because again, sometimes things are outside of my realm of knowledge.
Sure. Well, we all have our areas of expertise and experience, and those two things being different, you don't know until you start having that conversation. So it's important to reach out. I think we're encouraging small business owners or wannabe small business owners, wannabe entrepreneurs, or in solopreneurs as well, who often are the artisans. Right?
Yes.
They're in
the
culinary arts, the visual arts, the fine arts, musical arts, you know, all kinds of different things. And that is one of the things I have found interesting as well is looking into the industries of, you know, medicine, health, and wellness, that, you know, doctors are off with clinics or small businesses too. And sometimes they're so in the throes of doing their work that they forget about making time to step back just a little bit and look at their business too. So it sounds like you've just got a whole world of opportunity to share.
I'm very excited about what I offer. I just took on a partner, a Tooth DeSoto, that also offers different services. So we're going to meld very well together. But if somebody is interested in possibly becoming a client, they just need to reach out at and email me at bialvarado.desoto@gmail.com or give me a call, 520-612-6427.
Great. Well, we are about to go on to our next commercial break. And when we come back, we'll not only repeat how people can find you, but I want to hear if you've got any exciting events or, in fact, I think there's a conference coming up that we need to make sure people know about.
There is.
So you've been listening to Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. Please stay tuned. We're back for the second half hour of our first hour segment of Rainmakers this Monday, July 14th. We're already in the middle of July, which is, of course, in the second half of 2025. It's all going by so quickly. I'm excited that in our Rainmakers show, we actually are continuing to have a little bit of effect on the weather. Sounds like we're possibly going to get some rain, Brendan. I think we've got our fingers crossed, yes? We're excited about that. Brendan Kraft is our producer behind the glass this morning, making great things happen here on The Morning Voice. And I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, with Rainmakers, which is the Monday segment of The Morning Voice Positive Talk Radio. In our studio this morning, we've been speaking with Bernadette Alvarado, who is an all-around entrepreneur, business consultant, head of a chapter of LULAC, a founder of a podcast, and a contributing writer, among many other things. Bernadette, it's so great to have you this morning. We've been speaking about all things that give voice to those who may need a little help.
Yes, thank you so much again for having me.
Well, we're excited about this. And while we've been speaking about many different ways to interact with small businesses or students or families who may be in need and help them navigate so many different systems, information systems, programs and services, and understand what's possible, as well as maybe advise them on how to think about or prioritize their top needs in their daily lives or in their business, I also know that you don't sit still very much. And in fact, you've got an event coming up in the coming weeks or in the coming months.
Well, I have several events coming up.
I thought so.
One of the big events at the end of the month is Simply Hermosa is volunteering its time, helping support Touch of Face, honoring veterans.
Wonderful.
That is happening July 27th at El Casino Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
The admission is $15. While supplies last, there will be a meal. It is an all-day event. We will have veteran resources, a huge lineup of different bands performing, and we're really just honoring the veterans and their service.
So important to continue to serve yeah. our veterans and to continue to honor their time, their efforts, what they've given to our country at large and
Absolutely.
To the world, but also to our local families and making sure that veterans feel welcomed back after all of their service.
Absolutely. And we want to invite all of the veterans because they are for free entry into this event. The families, again, are just a small $15 admission fee. All the money goes back to Touch of Faith, and they are a group that feed veterans on a monthly basis. They do a monthly breakfast, and it's just to build community again. That's one of our cornerstone pieces with Simply Hermosa, is building community, giving back, and really giving our motto, be seen, be heard, be celebrated. You know, we really try to instill that in all the events that we work on. We'll also be heading up a table over at a backpack event at I want to say Rodeo Park mm-hmm. on the 26th. So we're really busy.
That's a busy weekend then.
It
you
really
got Saturday
is.
The 20th. Now, is it stuffing backpacks and making backpacks available for students, or is it a different type
of event? It's an organization too that they're giving away school supplies.
Okay.
So it is open to the public, and it is at Rodeo Park.
Okay. We will make sure to get that information yeah. out. And if folks have questions, they can perhaps reach you, but also that you can be sure if any of your listeners have questions, you can contact us back here at The Voice or check out our Facebook page, 1030 The Voice. Give us a call at the studio or maybe even scroll through some of our episodes and listen to this information again. So lots of different ways to find out. So the 26th of this month, school supplies event
yes.
at Rodeo Park, and July 27th, the Sunday, over at El Casino Ballroom in South Tucson.
Yeah.
Is that technically in South Tucson? Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. I know that right there, the little line curves.
It just
barely makes it in there. And that is a Touch of Faith event for veterans.
Yes.
To help continue to get attention, to bring funds available, and mm-hmm. to just celebrate all that veterans do for us on a daily basis. Some things that we don't even think of or might not be aware of.
Absolutely. We do take, sometimes we take our veterans for granted. And so this is just a thanks. But what we're really excited about, Simply Hermosa is launching with our women's conference called What Makes You Beautiful.
Nice.
We are extremely excited about this event. We are hosting September 6th. It starts at 9:00. It'll be at Ramada Tucson.
And starts at 9 in the morning, lasts
yes.
all day?
Yes, it does.
Wonderful. Ramada Tucson. Okay. And the point, or excuse me, the focus of What Makes You Beautiful says to me maybe a little bit about self-care, self-wellness, but also focusing on your mind, your talents, your attentions, and your aspirations. Am I getting anywhere close?
You are getting everything. We are very dedicated on this this event to celebrate and to pull out the wonderful things that women are able to accomplish. I think that when you focus on everyone else, it's important to really focus on pouring back into yourself. I think that as
right.
as women, we're so busy pouring into others that we forget that we need to pour back into ourselves. So this is really what this is all about: self-care, self-love, really focusing on stress management,
mm-hmm.
because that's a huge one for us. And really celebrating the amazing woman that you are. So this is really our steward, our flagship event that is focused on mental health.
Good.
Because mental health is so important. Women's mental health is a crisis right now. I think, you know, nearly 1 in 5 women in the U.S. experience a mental health condition, anxiety, depression. And this is really the highest levels of unmet mental health needs due to cultural stigma is between Latinas and Black women. You know, underrepresentations in therapy. It's so important that we really do focus on some of these things, because we're twice as likely to experience PTSD. And normally it's often linked to domestic abuse, poverty, or just general trauma. And then suicide is now the second leading cause of death for women ages 15 to 24.
Oh my goodness.
So we really want to focus on mental health with this event. It is so important. And again, having the resources, connecting women with ways to cope.
That is great that there's not only attention to the issue, but it sounds like you're also bringing some opportunities of how to tackle it, some solutions per se. And one of the first steps is not only being aware, but then finding the strength to be vulnerable. And I know that kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but it really does take a lot of care, a lot of self, you know, reminding of self that we are important enough to be honest with ourselves, that we might need help, that we might be finding trouble in things that others can help us find our way through, or that maybe we're just tired and that we need to rest. Stress is such a huge factor that leads to other health calamities. And if we don't manage our stress, we're going to have a whole lot of other issues. So finding the strength to be vulnerable and asking for the help and the guidance is so important. And I'm so glad that you and Simply Hermosa are paying attention to that, together with all your other spectrum of people, places, and organizations. Good for you.
Thank you.
And that'll make it good for us.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm so excited. You know, this is a space where you can be. We're trying to create safe spaces mm-hmm. for women to express who they are and being okay with not having all the answers.
That's right. Last week, we had a couple of guests on that were speaking about community events that they were planning. And one of them was a brand new event that's going to be happening in November. And I'm just going to do another plug for it, because you might find it of interest. And I think the woman who spoke about it is Chana Quesada, who herself comes out of behavioral health industry and experience, but also is a spiritual healer. And she has founded and is putting on in November an event called Wind Changers. I don't have the name right in front of me. I think I want to say Wind Changers, and it is an overnight on a weekend event, particularly aiming for Native women, tribal women, Indigenous women, who are coming together not only to share in their story. I know storytelling is a very big part of what you do, but also to speak about different ways of healing and being able to ask for help and to get help from the sisterhood, if you will.
I would love to connect with her. We are also having a vendor area with resources with different business communities, again, because we want to give back.
Well, we're going to pause right there for a commercial. Okay. I think that's so important that you have that area, and we're going to talk about that as soon as we get back from commercial. You're listening to Rainmakers on KVOI The Voice.
Thank you.
And we're back on Rainmakers this Monday, July 14th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we have been listening this first hour to my guest who's in studio, Ms. Bernadette Alvarado, who wears many hats in community. And Bernadette, we were speaking right before the break about not only the wonderful events that you have coming up this month, focusing on school supplies and on veterans, but also in September, your upcoming women's conference. And what I love that we were talking about about. And just before the break, you mentioned that not only is this available for the women participants that are coming, but you also are going to be having a space available for service providers and vendors so that people can know about the different kind of resources, maybe by like a little expo, if you will.
Yes. So we are hosting 30 different vendors and providers. We also will have an art corner, very interactive. I'm super excited about this. We are looking for vendors that may want to be a part of this event. We are expecting over 150 women to our event, and so we really want to make sure that we give a small business, again, the heart of everything that I do, an opportunity to get exposure that they might not or you know, grow mm-hmm. with some of these women. It's always, like I said, a nice way to network. And if you're not talking about your business, this is another way to get out there.
That's fantastic. And again, the name of the conference on September 6th is What Makes You Beautiful. So it sounds like not only is there a great opportunity to learn, to share, to network, but you mentioned that in addition to the expo and the service providers vendors that could be there, that there'll be some hands-on art
yes.
going on. So people might feel really comfortable. If they already have a talent, they might be able to express it. If they're learning a new skill, this might be a place where they feel comfortable and vulnerable to just jump right in and learn a new skill.
Absolutely.
A new way of having fun.
We have multiple ways of communicating who your best self is at this event. We even have Kimberly Wittart. She will be there and she will have a mini photo session as well. So,
is she a photographer?
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Yes, she is. She has an amazing portfolio and her story is just incredible as well. So we really wanted to make this a very well-rounded conference, not a little bit for everyone. And we do have a big announcement coming up this week. So I hope that you will follow us on all our social media platforms.
That's great. Which names would those platforms be under, or which, what are the handles?
So Simply Hermosa on Facebook, okay. Simply Hermosa AZ on Instagram. We haven't launched on TikTok yet, but yes, please follow us. We are super excited about the wonderful things that are happening over at Simply Hermosa.
Well, fantastic. There you have it, listeners. If you want to know more, not only about the upcoming July 26th School Supplies event out at Rodeo Park, or the July 27th Veterans event over at El Casino Ballroom, or certainly the September 6th What Makes You Beautiful Women's Conference, which will be an all-day conference starting bright and early at 9 o'clock in the morning, and that'll be held at the Ramada. Please, to not only find out more about these events, but all the other wonderful things that Bernadette Alvarado is leading, doing, and connecting, check out Simply Hermosa on all the different social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and, of course, reaching out to Bernadette herself. It has been such a pleasure to get to know a little bit more about your daily life, Bernadette. It is so full and moving in many directions. Thank you so much for being a guest on Rainmakers, and I'm so glad that we were able to reconnect.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We want to continue here at Rainmakers to make sure that not only our guests come and get engaged, but that we find each other often and with frequency. I know that we have a Morning Voice upcoming Eat and Greet event later this month. It's on July 24th, and it's going to occur over at the Javelina at the Doubletree Reed Park. I want to say 5:30 to 7. It might actually be 5 to 7. So anyone who's looking to speak more with our personalities, we invite our past guests, we invite listeners, we invite potential guests and sponsors. So maybe come out and join us at our Eat and Greet coming up. Brendan, I think those are the dates and times, and more information is available on our Facebook page. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Wonderful. Well, for this Monday morning, halfway through July, I want to say thank you again to Brendan behind the glass, keeping us going, and to Bernadette for being our guest this morning.
Thank you.
Everybody have a great Monday, and please stay tuned for our second hour where we will have our guest in studio be Deborah Rusinski, who is the new executive director at Sonoran Glass School. So in the meanwhile, refill your coffee, maybe park your car and get into your office or whatever other quick break you might need, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Rainmakers. Good morning. We are back for our second hour of Rainmakers this Monday, July 14th. And true to our name, the weather seems to be responding just a little bit that we're bringing in that rain like we like to. I love the monsoons and I love the Sonoran rain in our Sonoran desert, I should say. So for me, it's pretty exciting. Brendan, lots of interesting headlines going on today.
Yes, indeed.
And everyone's gearing up for primary elections tomorrow that are happening in several different counties across southern Arizona, because CD7 is such a vast district that is having its special elections. So we'll see how that goes for everybody. And here in studio for our second hour, I am so excited to welcome Deborah Rusinski. Deborah is the new executive director at the Sonoran Glass School, and fun fact that we just learned during our break is the grandfather of our own Brendan Kraft was actually a former director at the school as well. Brendan, that's so exciting.
Yes, as soon as I heard who was coming on, I was actually pretty excited because I was like, hey, that's been in my family for my whole life.
That's so wonderful. And I understand, I think you shared that you also have quite a bit of experience with glass art and with, is it the hot shop that you were participating in?
Yes, which, so I didn't do the glass blowing part, which is sticking it into the giant kilns, mm-hmm. but I worked with the smaller blow torches that were on tables and would make beads for necklaces and things like that. And I did that throughout my childhood.
Oh my goodness, that's so wonderful. Well, we're going to have to make sure to see if we might do maybe a Morning Voice team event over at the Glass School, and you might have to be our team leader, Brendan.
That would be super fun.
Oh, we'd love that. We call that the Flame Shop over at the Glass School, working with torches.
Oh my gosh, all of that. Now, I have to say, I've been to the Sonoran Glass School, and I've been to some of the special events where many of the different, not only the pieces are on display, but your teachers and alumni are kind of really active in the different shops doing a lot of things. Deborah, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because I haven't really formally introduced you. Let me welcome you again. It's so nice to have you here on Rainmakers.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And it was great to meet you the other night.
Yes, we were together at the 100 Plus Women Who Care event in a room full of very high energy women who were gathered around trying to bring money to many different causes. And I understand that was your first experience at that event. Is that correct?
It was. It was such an inspiring room. Really, it was wonderful to see so many active women in the community looking to support so many nonprofits. It was great.
What I love about that event is not only the actual fundraising that happens with little bits coming together, because people don't have to give a lot. It's not expected that thousands or tens of thousands are donated at once, but the collective of smaller donations, which actually end up being tens and tens and tens of thousands that go out to nonprofits. So it shows the power of getting together and everybody contributing what they can.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yes, and the support. So you are now at the helm of our fabulous Sonoran Glass School here in Tucson, and it is celebrating, is it 25 years already?
That's right, yeah. And I'm new to both Tucson and to the organization. I started the beginning of February of this year. Mm-hmm. And it's just been great. There's a wonderful group of people, all artists, who have been there, some for a very long time, some newer like me. I'm the newest, but I have a long background working with glass myself and in running nonprofit arts organizations as well.
You sure do. In fact, I was looking at your bio and your age does not show it, but it says that you bring over 40 years of experience in the arts, having earned your BA in design from UCLA. Is that correct?
That's right.
And your Master of Fine Arts in Glass from the Rochester Institute of Technology, and that your specialization in kiln cast glass has allowed you to exhibit your own work nationally and even internationally. So that sounds like a whole lot of experience that you're bringing, hands-on and instructive.
Yeah, I've got the gray hairs to show it.
Well, you know what? Well earned, I would say. So what caught your attention to start thinking about coming out here to the Sonoran Desert?
Well, I was running a nonprofit arts organization up in Washington State on Bainbridge Island, and primarily a gallery space, and we did arts education for senior centers and different art spaces up there, and I was looking to step aside our model was looking like it needed to really be more of a volunteer-based model. And they were paying me generously, too generously for the budget to sustain.
I see.
So I stepped aside and I noticed an ad for this organization. And I enjoy the history of the studio glass movement here mm-hmm. in the States. And I knew about Tom Philobom, and he had studied with some of the earliest folks to be involved in the studio glass movement here, mm-hmm. a guy named Harvey Littleton, who formed some of the first glass programs in the U.S. He studied in one of the first programs in the States, and he brought hot glass to Tucson, Arizona.
Wow.
And started a gallery down here, and that's known as the Philobom Glass Gallery 50 years ago, and yes. then 25 years ago started the studio, and I knew some of that history, and when I saw they were looking for a director, I was interested, and it was a nice legacy to consider being a part of.
Absolutely.
So I threw my hat in the ring to apply.
Well, it sounds like fate, you know, the design was in the works, you know, to have you come. And were you familiar? Had you ever been to Tucson or Southern Arizona before to understand our climate and all those good things that happen here?
Yeah, and it's actually interesting, kind of a full circle moment for me personally, because I had gotten my start in glass in undergrad at UCLA, mm-hmm. and that's where I first learned to blow glass. And when I graduated undergrad, myself and one of my professors, who I learned glass from, and some fellow students, we all piled into a van and drove from LA to Tucson.
Oh, wow.
And that was the first glass conference I had ever been to.
Oh, wow.
And one of the first shows of art glass I had ever seen was at the Tucson Museum of Art at that first conference. So the first time I ever came to Tucson was for that conference. And that was
fantastic.
The only trip I had taken here before I came down to start the job.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's so wonderful. And what a great, like you, as you said, a full circle of from your studies and your first exposures to some of the hands-on, you know, conference-type interactions to now being here and leading such a renowned institution, yeah. I should say. And again, I'm seeing Brendan excitedly nod his head. Brendan, is that bringing great memories back for you as she's describing some of that?
Definitely. I mean, throughout my childhood, we did all sorts of glass blowing stuff, glass art, and the Tucson Museum of Art was also a place we visited frequently for events and things like that. And
right.
Of course, Tom Philobom's gallery, who I've known my entire life. So
fantastic. Well, I love that connection there. So what I've been familiar with Sonoran Glass, with the school, as I had mentioned, is I've been there when there have been special events that bring the community in to get to know the school a little bit better, get to know the products, the programs, the engagement and certainly fundraising, you know, with some of those events, people are welcome to shop and buy pieces or make donations and otherwise find out how to get involved. I would imagine that one of your priorities in this role, and I'm sure since February you've been, it's probably like drinking out of a fire hose a little bit, you know, a lot coming at you at once and with full gusto, but we're going to talk a little bit about it right now and then certainly in our next segment after the commercial break, but I wonder with nonprofits, because this is a nonprofit, nonprofits are all over in every industry and in every geography are having to think a little bit differently about their fundraising and their friend raising. And so I have to imagine that's top of your list as well.
Certainly. That's very true.
Well, sounds like networking, which you are definitely out and about in the community doing, not only directly one-on-one, but in attending events, in getting your information out. Those of you who may not be watching us on Facebook may not see, but I'm going to hold it up to the camera. Deborah has brought some of her collateral, so we will have flyers available here at the studio, and also I'm going to be taking some with me to distribute to different events. It seems like there's a lot of different ways to find out more about the school, the website, maybe word of mouth, and some of the scheduled events. Anything coming up this month? Because I know you have summer hours right now, so it's a little bit different.
Right. Our hot shop furnace is shut down so that we can do some maintenance, and we changed out our crucible, which typically holds 500 pounds of molten glass.
Oh, goodness.
Held at 2,200 degrees. Oh. We traded out the crucible for a new one. And it's very hot normally, so it's not a great time of year to work with such a hot material.
Exactly.
We're now open just 3 days a week for warm glass and flame working and cold working. Until September 5th.
Oh, okay.
Is when we open again for our regular 6 day a week hours.
It's probably nice to have those extra days, because I have to imagine the 4 days are really a lot is crammed into those 4 days, that maybe having 3 days off gives you a breather.
Yeah. And but we have boosted our summer programming as compared with last year. We have a new flame shop manager, Brian Jacobson, who is featured on our new rack card design. With a torch in his hand.
Yes, I see him there.
And we have a bunch of new classes that he's offering. You can make espresso cups and cactus-themed swizzle sticks. And
all kind of fun stuff that really, that sounds really exciting. Those can make great gifts, of
course.
Yeah,
twisty straws out of glass and different things. Nice. And we just hired a new warm shop manager who will be starting in August. We're very excited to have her. Her name is Perla Segovia from Peru. And we were talking about having maybe Spanish conversation warm shop classes, which would be really cool.
Fun. That would be very cool. You know what? We're going to hold on that note because we're getting close to our first commercial break already.
Oh, okay.
So let's talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to Rainmakers, and our guest today is Deborah Rusinski. And we're back. This is Lydia Aranda, your host of Rainmakers this Monday, July 14th. We're always listening to such groovy tunes here on a Monday morning. Thanks, Brendan, for keeping it going. We've got Brendan Kraft behind the glass today. Matt Neely is off for a couple days, but Brendan is well-seasoned, who helps produce a number of our shows here on KVOI. And for this hour, we are speaking in studio with Deborah Rusinski. Deborah is the new executive director, and I say new, it's been a few months. You actually have been here since February, but still, I'm going to say anything in the first year is considered new. Deborah, it's so great to have you here in Tucson running the Sonoran Glass School.
It's great to be here.
And right before the break, we were speaking a little bit about some of the interesting things that are going on. There are summer hours happening currently that will go through the end of August, I believe. And that means you're down to just 4 days instead of 6 days, which are the normal hours during, I'm going to say, the academic year, right? Or
it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, you're down to 3 days. Excuse me, I had that back. That so that's an awful lot of activity, because I know as you in your leadership position are not only working with day-to-day, but you've got a lot of transition going on. I think you talked about in your equipment and other mechanisms that help the glass school go, you know, that help it run, that help the glass be transferred, that you're doing a lot of repairs and replacements of some of the equipment right now. So it is a good time that fewer hours. But during the summer hours, you also focus a little bit more on the cold shop, which is, did I understand, cutting and grinding. And tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Well, it's more that we're doing, we're offering more classes in our warm shop and our flame shop, and students can use the cold shop as well. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain what each of those are.
Super.
So cold shop is cutting and grinding and polishing. Similar to work that jewelers do in lapidary, okay, on stones. This is a big town for gem,
yes,
work and work on stones. It's machines that cut and grind and polish glass, that similar to what jewelers do with stone cutting.
Mm-hmm.
The warm shop is more working with kilns, like ceramicists work with kilns, and they don't go as hot as the hot shop equipment goes.
Okay, and a little bit more contained, being that it's in a kiln. Is that correct? I mean, I'm imagining it still makes a room pretty warm.
It can, yeah. The hot shop, the glass is kept in a molten state as high as 2,200 degrees typically.
See, and that's just, on top of the regular summer heat would be just a little much.
It gets more the consistency of like honey.
Wow.
In the warm shop, the kilns typically go to like 1,550 degrees, at most 1,600, but no higher. So it's warm rather than piping hot.
That's good. It gives you just a little break, not only from the elements, but to do some of the maintenance that you were talking about, some of the change out. You used a word earlier that I'm forgetting. You're changing something. It starts with a C.
Oh, a crucible.
Crucible, yes.
Yeah.
The crucible is being changed out.
Right. And that's made out of a what would be called a high temperature refractory material.
Gosh.
Like a kind of a ceramic material that can hold up to really high heat and mm-hmm. stay at a high heat for long periods of time. So when we do fire up that furnace again, we're going to do it slowly over a period of about a week. And then we keep it on 24 hours a day all the time.
Okay, so now I understand. Winter's a great time to be doing that.
Yes. Yeah, well, many other studios, we're kind of the opposite of a lot of other studios. Our season is winter because it's more comfortable here.
Exactly. I think that you were mentioning while we were on break, so we'd love to tell the listeners a little bit more about this, about a private event that's coming that found you through a lead at the U of A that involves the Smithsonian and an exchange, like an international exchange. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we're very excited about this. There's a group involved with the Smithsonian, the Folklife Center, that is focused on doing international exchange. And a group that they've organized, we discovered, we didn't know that Tucson has a sister city mm-hmm. in Kazakhstan, formerly part of the USSR, but mm-hmm. it's an independent country. They're bringing a group of artisans, jewelers and ceramicists and textile artists, are coming over to the United States. I believe they are in Santa Fe right now at a festival of folk artists in Santa Fe. And then in a couple days, they're coming to Tucson.
How exciting.
And they're going to come to our studio, and we're going to do a little show and tell exchange about seeing their work, and they're going to see our work, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And it sounds very interesting, and I understand that while that is not open to the public, it's a private event and a private exchange in that way. It sounds like maybe in future that might lead to some things that might be on display, or maybe could be sold, or something where the public might find out a little bit more.
Yeah.
And anything Smithsonian is always so exciting, because eventually it seems to lead out into public opportunity.
Yeah, and just the positive nature of that kind of exchange.
Absolutely.
When, you know, things going on, you know, in the larger world can be so uncertain at times.
Yes.
It's just nice to do something, you know, that skips all the uncertainty and just does something more life-affirming.
So well said. And I think what it also does is reaffirm the nature of the Sonoran Glass School being a school, meaning you're learning. And part of learning is also sharing with others. I love the exchange part of that event that's coming up, because you might learn techniques with each other, or just understanding different traditional histories and some of those things. For me, that's where my brain goes, is, you know, kind of the social nature of that, and the social impact that comes from that kind of exchange can really lead to new classes and just, again, students or lay folk who are not in the industry, the glass industry, might learn where and how to go and appreciate the kind of visual art that's being produced.
Yeah, and just to build human connection and to realize that we're not so different, no matter where we're from.
That's right.
And who we are.
That's right. It's so important. Well, with that, I'm hoping, I know we're actually so quickly coming up on our next commercial break, so I'm going to hold a thought, but I'm going to plant a seed for our next section. I have to imagine that in everything that you do, and we've talked about it already a little bit, fundraising, friend raising, alumni relations, donor relations, and student relations all come into a big mix. So let's talk about that when we come back from commercial. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice. This is Rainmakers on Monday, July 14th, and I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. In studio with me for this hour is Deborah Rusinski. Deborah, thank you again for being here this morning.
Thank you.
It's been fun letting our listeners know a little bit more about you and your background and the great things going on in your new role as Executive Director of Sonoran Glass School. And right before the break, we were talking about the private event that's going on with the Smithsonian Exchange with Sonoran School, and also folks coming from the Tucson's sister city of Kazakhstan's glass artisans from there that are coming via Smithsonian. Did I get that right? We're close.
They're actually not glass artisans. They're weavers and jewelers and ceramicists.
Oh, yes. Okay.
We have a few weavers from here, but mostly glass people from here.
Nice.
So it's a mixture.
Oh, that's great. So lots of different approaches to art with, I'm going to imagine, a lot of history and tradition and that exchange. And that allows for other kinds of commentary and exchanges and bonding, you know, global bonding from far corners, saying that we're actually real close and real similar.
Yeah, and they're visiting us, and I believe they're also going to Catalyst, which is an art space
yes.
that Saka runs up
That's
in
right.
at Tucson Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And they do wonderful work for the community in the arts. And we've partnered with them in the past and are looking to continue that partnership. It's a plug for them.
Good. It is a great organization. And we have in the past had Nicole Massa, who's part of that organization, speak. It's been a while. It's been about a year since she was on live, but we often refer to Saka, and I agree with you. Catalyst is a phenomenal space, and talk about a really good use of mall space.
Yeah.
Often on this show, and we have our mutual friend, Carolyn Gores from Compass Affordable Housing. And Carolyn and her team have come out on a number of different occasions to really speak about solutions in housing and or in small business. We speak with others on that. And that whole reuse, reimagining the use of space, malls are a great example, especially here in the Tucson area where a lot of things are shifting and there's space that's available to use and people or organizations that need space. So when we get it together, it really works out well.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with what they've done with the Catalyst space and that whole idea of creative reuse.
Yes, it's wonderful. And speaking of space, your space, your facility over at Sonoran Glass School has been going through some planned changes, I think, and some needed changes are being recognized and maybe planned for with your fundraising efforts.
It was originally a tire shop, and it's got the original roof from like 1961, I believe.
So probably time to make a change there.
Yes.
Now, would that be one of the top priorities for donors or funders to in how you're interacting with what your needs are? Like, is it starting to be detrimental, or is it just a top priority?
We have been looking to replace the roof and getting some quotes, and I'll be honest, from $40,000 to $48,000 is what is needed to replace the metal roof with the new one, and any help toward that would be so appreciated.
I bet. Well, it's good to let our listeners know how they can get involved and what they can do. And sometimes maybe even a roofing company or something might find a way to help help make that possible, perhaps with less funds or with timing or with some sort of solution. So listeners, as you're out there, please keep that in mind. Sonoran Glass School is needing a new roof. And summer can be kind of a challenging time sometimes with our monsoons and dust and wind and things like that. However, it makes it ever more necessary, because one thing goes wrong with the roof and lots of things get impacted. So we want to help you achieve that goal. We talked about your summer hours changing because of the heat, and also it's just a seasonal, you know, you change your summer hours and then you're full blown the rest of the year. Talk to our listeners and me about master classes that'll be coming up in the fall. And also, I'm kind of curious about your Sonoran Glass School's approach to offering classes in a particular program or an initiative, I guess I should say, called Creative Aging.
Sure. So we offer kind of longer term classes in the fall. We call them semester length classes.
Okay.
And if somebody has some experience blowing glass and they want to go deeper and learn more in-depth techniques, they can sign up for our semester length classes and learn more about the process, get deeper level skills. That's a good time and a good way to get those skills. So that's an option.
Great.
And
that's okay. I threw a lot at you there. Let's stick on master classes for a minute. So does master class then imply that there are also beginner level classes and people can sign up for those if they're brand new to the whole deal?
We have short classes we call make your owns, where you don't need any experience at all.
That would be me.
And some are as short as a half an hour, an hour long, where you can come in and we really guide you through the making of an object. It can be a glass,
like a
or a flower, a pendant.
Twisty straw, something fun.
Yeah, yeah. We have quite a variety in the flame shop, in the warm shop, in the hot shop when that's going again, mm-hmm. starting after September 5th.
Okay, so right after Labor Day, we'll be back at it with those.
Yeah, and by the way, we're going to have a fun kickoff event on September 5th in the evening.
Oh, good.
To kind of kick off fall season once that furnace is back up and running. And to welcome people back.
And so that people who have not yet met you will have a chance to meet you in the flesh.
Yeah.
That's great, besides hearing your voice here today.
But I'm around in the summer as well.
Good.
On those days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And all the way through Labor Day, and then it goes back to the longer schedule. Okay, that's great. So I also asked, I've been curious about the creative aging. I'm wondering what that started as and what that does in community, how that connects Sonoran Glass School with our aging population. I'm going to guess that's the creative part.
Sure. And we have our education director, Marika Whittemore, who conducts a lot of those classes in particular. And many of them happen offsite, in particular, like at the Jewish Community Center in town.
Nice. Okay.
And she'll work with memory care folks and seniors and particular specific populations often. So that if there are folks who don't have certain motor skills, she'll make sure to structure the classes depending on the group of people so that they can succeed and enjoy the task at hand.
That's wonderful. And that's so great for socializing, especially with our aging, our elders, our seniors. I know there are lots of different descriptors that we have there. And some folks are more independent than others. Some are very independently minded, but might have certain, like you said, limits on their motor skills, or maybe eye-hand coordination might need a little help, something like that. So mm-hmm. that's great to know that there can still be creativity, which is so inspiring and so motivating and builds confidence.
Right. And we even bring classes into TMC Hospital and work with patients.
Oh, fantastic.
The patients can do a class right there, and then we bring the items that they've worked on back to the studio and fire the pieces and then bring them back to them.
Oh, wonderful.
Or we do similar classes completely at the studio. So we offer a variety of things. We cater classes to particular groups. We had a Wounded Warrior group come.
Nice.
We do corporate groups. We had a group of electricians where it's a great...
great team building, it sounds like.
Exactly.
In a kind of a retreat, or maybe leadership retreat, or team retreat.
The owner of the company likes to... do these special kind of gifts for his staff every certain period of time and surprise them with fun events. And they had a great time.
That's great. Well, Brendan, you're on the hook still. I think you're going to have to be our morning voice team leader. We'll do a special event.
I have a lot of experience with working in hot furnaces and things like that, because I also did blacksmithing at one point.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is very similar, just metal.
There's some common
ground.
Brendan
is a man of many talents there. That's great. Well, we are getting close to our next break, so I will put in a quick message about when we come back from the break. I'd love to hear more about also your mobile glass blowing. I think that'll be interesting for our listeners to hear. So you're listening to Rainmakers. We've got Deborah Brzezinski, and I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. Stay tuned. Quick break. Still enjoy. enjoying those groovy tunes. Thanks, Brendan. Brendan Kraft behind the glass today, making it happen with our show. This is Rainmakers, and I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. This Monday morning, we have been speaking with Deborah Ruzinski in studio, and it's been so exciting. I'm gonna actually say I love that we've got that 40 to 60% chance of rain. It means we've got our Rainmaker juju going on here like we try to do every Monday and bring some of that wonderful rain to the Sonoran Desert. Deborah, you have been sharing so many exciting facts about what's going on at Sonoran's Glass School. And right before the break, we were speaking a little bit about master classes and about the creative aging that allows our seniors to participate in a little bit different way with tailored classes and some support. And now I'm really curious about the mobile glass blowing. I know that there is an acronym that you all use, and I had to look it up on the website. I'm going to say it again. It is GOAT. Oops. I don't think
the
I brought
goat.
It up. The GOAT. Yes. So mobile glass blowing in and of itself is so intriguing to me, because to me that means that heat somewhere is happening, but on the move. So GOAT, I see, stands for glass blowing on a trailer. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, and that's typically been run by our best and longest standing glass blowers on the team, Paul Anders Stout and Jason Marstall.
Fabulous.
Yeah, it's glass blowing equipment on a trailer that they take to different locations like University of Arizona. Mm-hmm. They've taken it to the Ritz in town. And
it sounds like also doing some exciting things downtown. I see listed in the past, there have been demos at Hotel Congress, our favorite, mm-hmm. our famous HOCO, and Mainers, of course, cross street right off the train tracks there, but also the Children's Museum and many others. So
yeah.
This is really, so a trailer is where demos are, you know, folks can see a demo taking place and then they can get excited and maybe sign up for classes or other programs at your school.
Yeah, and just seeing it out in the wild, as it were, it's pretty exciting, especially if you've never seen it done before.
Sure.
And these guys are so skilled, and they make it look so easy, and it's just really not easy.
So. I imagine not. And the way Brendan was describing all of his youth, learning all of this, I mean, it really is a hands-on process. I've never done it myself, but I have seen it happen, and it is just really impressive. I would imagine that the mobile glass blowing can be a great tool for enticing others on how they can support the school also, not just with equipment or maybe donations, other kinds of fundraising programs, maybe getting a tailored class that the proceeds might help your school.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you get pretty creative with some of that.
Yeah, and we will probably be out and about at some festivals coming up in the next few months as well, and we may have it out at some of those. And it's always great at attracting a crowd.
That's wonderful. I love what you have spoken about throughout this hour, that you've really talked about the history, not only your background, but the background of the school itself, the relationship in the different classes that bring in other things that Southern Arizona is so famous for, Gem Show, and, you know, kind of bits and pieces and decorative art, useful art, swizzle sticks and stirrers and things of that nature, pendants that can be worn, but also just learning that this may not necessarily have to be such a foreign type of art, if you will. I mean, it can really be, anybody can participate in this in different ways. And that's just so exciting, especially for someone like me who I think I do have some creativity in some things, but glass blowing hasn't ever been one of them. So it makes me kind of excited that maybe I can actually create a piece or two.
Yeah, and we do offer something for everyone. Some people, you know, are drawn to fire. Some mm-hmm. people, you know, kind of run and hide from fire. And we have processes that, you know, we can offer to a wide variety of personalities.
Sure.
You know?
And it sounds like large groups and small groups alike.
Yes.
That's so exciting. And all age groups. You've got your youth education program. We talked about creative aging. And even in the mobile space, that's going to open it up to a lot more people who may not otherwise have an opportunity to see it. What a great draw from all corners of our great state, our country, and even the world to come and see Sonoran Glass School. So I've been so excited to have you on. It's been so informative to really hear how people can get engaged. And I'm glad that we can help spread the word so that more people will help support you and your team, you in your new role, your team. Some of them have been there a long, long time. Others are maybe newer comers too. And they can help the school. First and foremost, we want to make sure that you get a new roof.
Thanks. And we love working with the local schools. You know, we've worked with really young kids and high school age and university age. And
so like you said, something for everybody.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, Deborah, welcome again to our Sonoran Desert, to being here in Tucson, to being part of our Southern Arizona wonderful region, robust, multicultural region that has so much to offer in the arts and otherwise. And I hope you'll come back and be with us again on Rainmakers in the future.
Oh, I'd love to.
Great. Well, everybody have a wonderful Monday. It is July 14th, and we hope we're going to get some rain. Deborah, it's been great to see you. And Brendan, thanks so much for your support.
Anytime.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. So keep tuned. This has been Rainmakers, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice on 1030 The Voice. Have a great day.